We're going to be in Matthew's Gospel this evening, Matthew chapter 12, and starting at verse 15. If you haven't got a Bible, Jim is poised over here to bring you one. Please don't be embarrassed to put a hand up and ask for a Bible. Matthew chapter 12, page 977 or 976 in the church Bibles. Just wait for everyone to find that. I actually want to read, if it's okay, from verse 14, because it just sets the scene a little bit. Jesus has just healed a man with a shriveled hand on a Sabbath. This has rattled the cages of the religious leaders of the time. And verse 14, the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. This is God's word to us this evening. And if you could take your Bibles again and open them to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 15, page 977 in my Bible at least. And with that open in front of us, let's ask for the Lord's help as we look at his word. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you that your word describes itself as a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. And Father, as we lift our eyes to our world around us, it feels very often like we live in dark times. And so, Father, please would you illuminate our path tonight, and would you lift that light to shine on the Lord Jesus, that we might see him, that we might love him, that we might cling to him more tightly as a result of hearing your word tonight, and that we might leave here more in love with him than when we arrived. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in recent days, if you've had your eyes open to the media in any form, you'll notice that there have been outcries for justice. Whether that's the Iraq war thing being raised again this week, and everyone's sort of saying we need truth, we need justice, we need something to happen here. Or whether it's been those horrific events of the Grenfell Tower fire and the residents up in arms calling for justice. We want justice to be done, and trying desperately, as right as they are, to reach out and grab for some justice. Or whether it's public scandals, using public money for wrong things, and people say we want justice. Justice. And actually, if you think about it, a cry for justice, whether that's over the Tower Fire or over a war, a cry for justice is really a cry for what's wrong to be put right. It is a cry in its fullest sense for what is broken to be fixed. If you were to spend a day in the Howard House with my six children, you would discover that this cry for justice is ingrained in you from the youngest of ages. Dad, tell her off. She did this to me. She stole that. He took my toy. Dad, I want justice. It's ingrained in us from such a young age. And in fact, so much so is it ingrained in our hearts, a desire for justice. We even have to make movies about it. There's a movie called The Justice League, which some of you will know, which is the gathering of superheroes, super people who will bring order and justice to the world. We can't find it anywhere else, so we have to imagine it in films. In its fullest sense, a cry for justice is a cry for what's broken to be fixed. And actually, it can boil down tonight to being a very personal thing. So some of us can be sitting here tonight longing for justice, longing for what is broken to be fixed, whether that's a sickness that you want to be healed, what is broken to be fixed, whether that's just the rawness of death for some of us, perhaps, and just wanting that to be gone, death to be gone. It's a wrong thing. It's a broken thing. We just long for justice. Perhaps it's for arguing to disappear from our families. Perhaps it's for work to just be a little bit easier to do. Perhaps it's for fears, things that grip us, to just fade away. At its fullest sense, that's what a cry for justice is, for what is broken in our world to be put right. And the question is, who will you go to for that kind of justice? Who are your eyes going to look to? Who are you going to pin your hopes on for that kind of justice? Now, we sit here tonight as a church, and so I hope the answer that we'd all come up with is Jesus. Jesus is the one. And the point as we come to this part of Matthew's gospel, as is really the whole point of Matthew's gospel, is that we should come to Jesus. Where do we find such justice? Where do we find the hope of what is broken being put right? We find it in Jesus. Just look with me down at Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20. It says there, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. These are words of God recorded through the prophet Isaiah. And they are a promise from God that one day justice in its fullest sense, the putting right of what's wrong, the fixing of what's broken, will sweep all its opponents aside and stand on the podium as the victor. It will stand. I mean, we love sports, lots of us. We're used to that image. You know, a sprinter like Usain Bolt, kind of yards ahead of everyone else, triumphing over his opponents. And that's the picture that God is giving us of justice being led through to victory, sweeping its opponents of wickedness and injustice and brokenness to one side. And there's a moment in time coming when justice will be done, when justice will reign, when what is right rules. And justice is something that God promises. And justice is something that God will do. And Matthew 12, this little section that we've got in front of us tonight, says if you want that kind of justice, you have to come to Jesus. Because this little bit of Matthew actually helps us to see what I want to call the who and the how of God's justice plan. Who is going to bring this kind of justice? It's Jesus. And how will he do it? And so very simply tonight, I just want to show you very quickly two things from this story. First of all, come to Jesus for justice because he's God's man to bring that justice about. I'm not sure if any of you are here or into the Tour de France. No, that's good. Yeah, one person is into the Tour de France. If you're into the Tour de France, if the rest of you, this is going to be a pointless illustration. But basically, if you're into the Tour de France, there's this team, Team Sky, and they have this man, and all eyes are on this one man to win the race. His name is Chris Froome. And if you're a Brit, you're kind of thinking, this is the guy we want to win. And this is the one who the whole team, as it were, has chosen. And they work together to bring this man through to justice. And if you follow the Tour de France as a Brit, all eyes are on Froome. You want this guy to win. He's the one that our attention is drawn to. We want him to win the race, to win the victory. And in a similar way, you see, this section, just as the media in Britain is drawing our eyes to Froome, this section of Matthew's gospel is drawing our eyes to Jesus. We're all eyes on him. He's the one who's going to lead justice through to victory. Follow the story with me and you'll see how this works out. So look at verse 15. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Aware of what? Well, aware of the fact that the Pharisees, verse 14, have unjustly, notice that, unjustly started to plot how they might kill Jesus. And he withdraws. He withdraws from their presence. But while there's one group of people that are wanting to kill him, there's another group, verse 15, who follow him. Whose eyes is that crowd on? That crowd's eyes are on Jesus. While some are rejecting him, others are saying, no, it's on this man that we pin our hopes. And their hopes are not disappointed, are they? Look at verse 15 again. Many followed him, and he healed all the sick. Now, if we're churchy type people, we miss that. That's quite spectacular, isn't it? He healed all the sick. Everyone in that crowd who wasn't well, everyone who was broken, he fixed, he put right. Now, what might we call that? Justice. Fixing what is broken. Here is an evidence in the story that Jesus is God's man to lead justice, what is broken, to be fixed through to victory. And then Matthew joins some dots for us. You see, as he portrays this evidence, Matthew looks on and he says, look, I want you to see something. My kids love doing dot to dots. They can never get the numbers right, so the pictures don't come out correctly. But Matthew's very good at dot to dot. And what he does is he says, there's a dot in the Old Testament. And you find that dot in the prophet Isaiah. And he reads, he says, look, this is, happens to fulfill. Look at verse 17. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He draws a dot. And then he says, and now I want to join that dot to Jesus. And I want you to see that this is the man who fulfills these words that God spoke hundreds of years before. Perhaps another illustration to help you understand this is the story of Cinderella. Prince Charming has his shoe. And he's looking for somebody who will fit this shoe. Someone who will then be his kind of princess, his bride of dreams. And in a similar way, it's as if Isaiah kind of holds up a shoe. Just look at the shoe he holds up. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. Isaiah holds up a shoe, and Matthew says, look, the shoe fits Jesus. Doesn't find his princess, but he finds Jesus, the servant, God's chosen one, who will bring justice through to victory in our world, to justice, to rule and reign. See, just look how the shoe fits. Here is my servant whom I've chosen. Actually, we get that language a lot in the beginning of Matthew's gospel about the Lord Jesus. It's the one whom I love. Do you remember the baptism story of Jesus? Where heaven opens and the voice declares, this is my son whom I love. And this is the one who is fit for the task of bringing justice to victory. Why? Because he's a just man and the Lord delights in him. We're meant to look on at the Lord Jesus in the Gospels and say the shoe fits. The dots are joined. Jesus is God's man to lead justice through to victory. And look at verse 21. In his name, the name of Jesus, the nations will put their hope. All eyes are fixed on him. All people are to come to him because he is the only one who will put this world right, who will judge what is wrong, and who will restore what is broken to be fixed. Jesus is the one who will judge those who have rebelled against God, and Jesus will restore this world to what he created it to be. The Lord Jesus crucified, risen, ascended, and returning as judge is the one who will bring into existence a new heavens and a new earth, which the Bible calls the home of righteousness. And we're told that in that world, there will be no suffering and no death and no tears and no brokenness, no curse, as it puts it in Revelation. If I could rename it just for a minute, because I'm not sure the scriptures call it this, but rather than the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of justice, the kingdom of what is right, the kingdom where what is broken is fixed and what is wrong is judged. And you see, as Jesus heads to the cross, which he's doing in this part of Matthew's gospel, the Lord Jesus is heading to the cross as the one who would endure the justice of God for my sins. So that verse 21, I could come to him, I could put my hope in him to be part of that new world, that just world where justice is led through to victory and everything is fixed. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me and I will bring justice. I will pay for your sins and I will give you the hope of a world that is restored. And that's why Jesus, you see, at the end of the gospel, sends people off to preach about him. Because the message for the world after Jesus' time on earth is the same message. Come to Jesus for justice. Let me ask you this evening, who are you looking to for justice? Whether that's justice in your own life in some way, whether that's justice for our community, justice for our world. Where are your eyes fixed? Who are you going to? Who are you running to? Are you trying to create a storm in the media with your social media to get some attention and some voices to back you up? Or are you running around looking for someone to kind of have as the fair person who's going to sort it out? This story hints at us, you see, that we have two ways to respond to Jesus, who is held up to us here as the one who will lead justice through to victory, God's man. And it says you will either put your hope in him, you'll come to him, or you'll hate him. That's the two contrasts that's going on in this part of Matthew. You'll either sort of react the way that the Pharisees reacted when Jesus did justice. He healed a man, he fixed a man with a shriveled hand, and they reacted and said, we don't want that. They hated him. Or you'll come and you'll put your hope in him. Or to use another language, you come to him or you want to kill him. Now you might say, I don't want to kill Jesus, but actually as soon as you refuse to come to him, you wish he was dead. It's as stark as that. You see, hope for justice is found in God's man. And Matthew says, you've got to see that Jesus as that man. You've got to see him as the one that God promised to send to bring justice through to victory. But the second thing I want us to notice this evening is that you've got to come to Jesus for justice because he's God's man, but because he also is carrying out God's plan. And it's what I want to call the gentleness plan, which sounds a bit kind of weird, but hopefully you'll see why that's true. I don't know, are any of you here into X Factor? I'm looking to the corner of young people. One person in the room. So we've got one person watching the Tour de France and one person into X Factor. Thank you, brothers. You can come and speak to me later. Now, listen, here's the thing with the X Factor, okay? I know the rest of you are just publicly ashamed to admit that you watch it. But we all know we do. Now, here's what happens, right? If somebody walks onto the stage and they're kind of dressed in kind of like, you know, non-pop star clothes, and they look really kind of like, oh, yeah, there's nothing good's going to happen here. And, you know, they walk on and you think, oh, this is going to be one of the funny ones and we're all going to have a good laugh. And then they stand and then they open their mouth and the most amazing sound comes out. And everyone's like, well, we didn't see that one coming. We didn't expect that. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover. That's what the judges would say. And it's just an unexpected way of coming onto the stage, but something beautiful comes out. And I want to say that in a similar way, Jesus leads justice to victory in a way that you might not expect, a way that the world might not have picked. You see, he does not use weapons of war. He does not use violence. He does not use the same tactics that those who opposed him does. The Lord Jesus brings justice through to victory with gentleness and with grace. It's a plan that you would not expect. It's a plan that might fly under the radar of our world. You see, have a look with me at this Isaiah quote. It's a great quote to just pause and chew on because it just says so much about the work of our Lord Jesus and what he did. You see, follow with me from verse 18. Here's the first part of the gentleness plan. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. Here's the first part of God's gentleness plan that Jesus carried out. It was Spirit-filled proclamation. Now you might be thinking, is that it? God's plan for our world, our broken world, is to send a man with a message. Is that it? And the answer is yes. That is how Jesus is leading justice through to victory. While he was on earth, he went around preaching a message. It was the message of himself. Come to me, he says, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That was his message. And he moved around with his message, filled with the Holy Spirit, who would cause people to respond to him like that crowd that had followed him and pinned their hopes on him. Jesus moved around with that message, calling people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven had come near. And in crying for justice, you see, one of the first things we must recognize is that we are people who deserve the justice of God. We are people who desperately need someone to pin our hopes on. And Jesus moves around with this message that gives us hope. He says, repent and believe. Come to me and I will give you rest. He moved around with this message. And through proclaiming the gospel, Jesus calls people like us to come to him. And that's what he did when he was here. God's plan is to preach Jesus to the nations, so that the nations will come to Jesus and put their hope in him. To preach, come to the one who will lead this world through to justice, lead justice through to victory. It's unimpressive, isn't it, in the world's eyes? I mean, preaching just looks a bit weird. Sitting in a staff room and telling someone about Jesus just feels a bit weak. It's laughed at in a staff room, isn't it? It's mocked on the media. But friends, it was the plan when Jesus was here, and it's how he is still at work in the world today to lead justice through to victory. It is with Spirit-filled proclamation. The Holy Spirit is in what we do as we speak about Jesus, and he will cause people to believe that message. You see, the Holy Spirit will bring people to respond. Look at verse 16 with me. So you've got this strange thing that maybe some of you wonder about sometimes, where Jesus heals a lot of people and then he tells them not to go and tell anyone about it. And maybe you think, well, what's that about? Well, I think Jesus is drawing emphasis in this particular section to the fact that it was the message, not the miracles, that he wanted people to pay attention to. The miracles prove Jesus to be the one who will lead justice through to victory. But it's the message that leads people to Jesus. Come, was his message. Come to me, and I will lead justice through to victory. And this is still the plan today, friends. This is still how Jesus is in the process of leading justice through to victory. Please don't lose confidence in God's gentleness plan to preach the message, to proclaim Jesus to those we live amongst and work amongst, praying for the Holy Spirit to be in it and on it and working through it. This is the way Jesus was to lead gentleness through to victory. And he is leading gentleness through to victory. But God's plan of Spirit-filled proclamation goes hand in hand with something else we see here, which is no retaliation. So look at verse 19. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the street. See, Jesus would bring around justice, fixing what is broken, not by engaging in arguments and strife and kind of calling the Pharisees and the disciples out for kind of one of those street brawls, and we'll see who comes out toughest at the end. No, Jesus brings justice through to victory with no retaliation. See, once again, it's a sense here. This is what Isaiah said would happen. He will not quarrel. He will not cry out. His voice will not be heard in the streets. He obviously preached in the streets, but that's a more of an argumentative nature. And what's being told here, you see, is that the shoe fitted Jesus. Even this story shows that the shoe fits. So the Pharisees, they gang up against Jesus. They start to plot against him. And what does Jesus do? Does he call in the boys and say, right, let's go and take out these Pharisees? Now look at verse 15. What does he do? Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. His pattern is to not retaliate to those who stand against him. Think about the Garden of Gethsemane, just hours before the cross. What did Jesus do in the garden? The soldiers come, Peter whips out his sword, whew, takes a slice off somebody. Jesus says, put your sword away. And he heals the man. And he leads justice through to victory with gentleness, with no retaliation. And friends, here is laid a pattern which we see most clearly at the cross, the centerpiece of God's plan to bring justice through to victory. Listen to these words from Peter, which you will recognize, many of you. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. At the center of God's plan to put right what is wrong with our world, to bring justice in forgiving our sins, was a man who did not retaliate when they hurled their insults and when they abused him and when they nailed him to a cross. By no retaliation, he endured the justice that my sin deserves, so that his wounds, we might be healed. And friends, that is the pattern that he has left us with. As people go out and proclaim the message of Jesus, and who don't retaliate when people don't want to hear it. You know, I don't know about you, but we've done quite a lot of street stuff down at Edmonton. And I have to confess that sometimes, you know, if you've been out for long enough on the streets, people's reactions sometimes, you start to think of clever responses. You know, you start to think how you might get your own back, a more witty comment back when people refuse something. But actually, that's not Jesus's way. And when someone stands against you or mocks you in your family because of the Lord Jesus, it's a no retaliation pattern that we've been left. Listen how Peter goes on. To this you were called, to this pattern of no retaliation, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. We're called to proclaim Jesus with gentleness and respect. There's a right way to proclaim Jesus and a wrong way. We're called to turn the other cheek. We are called to live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, and sometimes they will, they may glorify our Father in heaven. We're called to pray for those who persecute us. We're called to walk the path of the cross. See, Jesus led justice through to victory with no retaliation. And how is he doing it today? As he uses his people with spirit-filled proclamation who refuse to retaliate to those who stand against us. And God's gentleness plan is spirit-filled proclamation. It is no retaliation, but it is also love for the lowly. Just look at verse 20. Here's the third part of the gentleness plan. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. Just tune into these two pictures with me for a moment. Two pictures that encouragingly, and I use that word generously, encouragingly, show us the types of people that our Lord Jesus came to help. He came to help people who know they are broken, who are bruised by life, by life's brokenness, by life's injustice. He came to help people who knew that we're broken with sin and desperately need someone to pin our hopes on, to come to sort us out. A bruised reed, think of a flower, you know, like a stem of a flower, and if you pinch it, the flower just can't stand up by itself. You ever had that? Well, you get one that always comes out the packet like that, don't you? And you try and stand it up, and it just flops because the stem is broken. And that's the picture that Jesus is giving. People who just so damaged by life, so broken by this world, they recognize they've just got nothing to stand up by themselves. And so you just got nothing. They're useless. But then you got this picture of a smoldering wick. You know when you have a candle and it just gets down to that last bit and the little kind of wick, there's just that little ember, that little glow. Just nothing left. It's on its last legs. It's about to go out. But who has got Jesus got time for? It's the bruised reed, the flower that won't stand up, and the smoldering wick, nothing left. And Jesus says, these are the people that I've come to help. The broken, the bruised, the weary. Maybe that's how you've come to church feeling this evening. And just a chapter earlier, you see, Jesus says to the crowd around him, and I've quoted it several times, but he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus has a love for the lowly, for those who know they are broken with sin, who are broken by life, who live in a broken world and have nothing in ourselves to put it right. That's the point he's making. We have nothing in ourselves to correct this problem, to bring about justice. And friends, this is still true for the Lord Jesus today as he brings justice through to victory. Can I say to you, you may not think of yourself like this, but in spiritual terms, every single one of us in this room is a bruised reed and a smoldering wick. We have nothing to bring to the table, nothing spiritually to offer to Jesus. But actually, he is the one who showed us gentleness and compassion and kindness as he brought us through to trust him. And actually, do you know what he wants from his people today as we go out and we do spirit proclamation with no retaliation? He wants us to show a love for the lowly, a love for the broken, just as he did, because that's how he's leading justice through to victory. How is God's man leading justice to victory? The same way he did while he was on earth, which is with spirit-filled proclamation, no retaliation, and a deep love for the lowly. And I think if we're honest, isn't it easy for such a plan to go under the radar of our lives? Think, is that it? Is that how this world is going to get put back together? Is this how there's a group of people who are going to be part of this world that where what is wrong is put right? And the answer is yes. You see, we live in a world that is scrabbling around for justice. Justice for what is wrong to be put right, for what is broken to be fixed. It's everywhere. You just have to open your eyes. And it's in my family when the kids are calling out for justice. It's in our communities. It's on our social media. It's in our individual lives where we feel the pinch of living in a broken world. And the question is, will you come to Jesus? Will you pin your hopes on Jesus? And will you keep coming to Jesus as every injustice is felt and every bit of brokenness is felt? Will you come to Jesus? Look at verse 21 with me as we finish. In his name, the nations will and are putting their hope for justice to right what is wrong. And maybe for some of you here this evening, what you need to do is start there. You need to come to Jesus for justice. Pin your hopes on him as the one who will put right what is wrong in our world. Will you come to Jesus, and will you keep on coming to Jesus as our hope for justice? Let's bow our heads, shall we, and pray together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much that amidst a world that is scrabbling around for justice, you have given us the Lord Jesus, the man that you have raised up to lead justice through to victory. And Father, when we're tempted to seek justice in other places, in your kindness, would you bring us to keep on coming to Jesus, to pin our hopes on him, to lift our eyes to him, to see that he is the one the shoe fits. Father, particularly ask that you would help those who are broken reeds and smoldering wicks today. Father, please would they know the special love that Jesus has for the broken, and would they pin their hopes on him, the one who will lead justice to victory. And Father, please, would you help us to be those who work in line with your gentleness plan this week. Give us confidence, fresh confidence in the proclaiming of Jesus to those that we work with. Father, even this week, would we head out from here and get opportunities to speak to friends and family and proclaim Jesus, the Jesus of justice, to them. And we ask, Father, that you'd give us the patience not to retaliate. Father, please help us not to come up with clever answers in our head to come back at people. Please, would you help us not to get angry when people get angry with us about the message. Help us to be like Jesus. And Father, we ask, please, that we would show that love for the lowly that Jesus had and as he has had for us. And we ask these things, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.